Welcome. You are about to take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bouffet on the Love by Intuition show. For the next hour, allow her to prepare you in becoming a magnet for a profound love-infused relationship by identifying and focusing on solutions through love. Awaken the light within and let your essence shine. And now, here's Deborah Bouffet on Love by Intuition, all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome, everyone. Bonjour, mes amis. And yes, here I am, Deborah Bouffet, founder and owner of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, the Kids for Love Project, and many other things as well. The longer you live, the more you explore, the more you create, and it's all good. Well, if you're tuning in for the first time, we're a Boston-based syndicated internet radio station with all the bells and whistles. You can listen online in your cars, ask Alexa. You can do all kinds of things, and we're on just about every platform out there, whether it's Spreaker, TuneIn, iHeart. So whatever you choose, come and listen. We're also proud to be the partner for the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. And coming up in the spring, they are looking to get back into face-to-face workshops and such. So check that out and keep that in mind. So I am really enthused and excited because I have Cindy Dale back. I enjoyed her so much. She has such a beautiful energy. The book that I've been reading and I go back to, and focus on one chapter, is called Energy Healing for Trauma, Stress, and Chronic Illness. And it's so packed with information, wisdom, actual techniques that you can incorporate, add to your toolbox if you're into healing your body and others. It's just excellent. Now, Cindy was on the show back in November. So if you'd like to look into the archives, the Love by Intuition archives, you'll find her. Just search her name, Cindy Dale, C-Y-N-D-I, Dale, D-A-L-E. And I really stress to listen to that and then listen to this one afterwards, and you'll just, you know, take in so much more. So without further ado, welcome back to the show, Cindy.
I'm thrilled to be here. Hi, Deborah. I'm just so looking forward to another beautiful hour.
Thank you. Thank you. I as well. And for people out there that may not be familiar with you, you're internationally renowned author, speaker, healer, business consultant, and the author of 27 books in different languages. And that in itself is, I called you a rock star last time, and I don't usually use those terms, but you are. So anyway, let's get into it, because I have a number of things I wanted to talk with you about, and we have to bring up stress and trauma. So let's start with that. Everyone has stress and trauma, but let's talk about how we can actually take in that trauma and stress from others, even back, you know, from our ancestors, the entities out there. Let's talk about how that all comes to happen.
Well, it is a really interesting story, this story of being a human, isn't it? So, you know, I think there's a point in most of our lives where we start to take responsibility for what we've gone through and say, even if I didn't cause it, I need to heal it. But the wrap around that is that we also have to realize that most of what impacts us comes from other places, not just ourselves. I mean, 99.999% of an object is invisible. It's what we call subtle. It can't be seen and measured. And that's true of our bodies. So we can find parts of our, you know, kind of even atomic structure, football fields away, half a world away. We're just huge waves of energy. That's all we are. So as we're busy kind of sharing our energy, if you would, with the world, most of it invisible, we're also bringing in energy that's not our own. And so we all realize, you know, that stress is challenging. Stress is anything that imbalances us. But when we can't get rid of our reactions to a stress, or when we bring other people's energy into us or trigger energies like from our ancestors in our bodies, and we don't even know that's happened and we don't know how to shake it, you know what? The stress that we can't get free of, that turns into trauma. That turns into that oh, we all know the feeling, you know, kind of when we're just stuck in our stress or we trigger really easily. But I really think most of what causes the trauma really does trigger from our ancestors, or we bring in energies that aren't our own, and there it sits in our body and we don't know how to get rid of it. Most of us don't even know we have it in there.
Right. So because we're light beings and we come to Earth to experience all these emotions and things that go on, do you buy into the idea that we come in as babies with a number of things from ancestors and others, and that they can develop in the body and maybe be dormant for a while until one gets older? You know, what are your thoughts on that?
I do believe that we do not start as blank slates. I think that's a lovely, heroic notion that we're just absolutely kind of pure. But let's look at that. I believe we have souls. I think you do too. So we've had other incarnations or in-between lives and experiences. So the soul gets loaded into the body. And then as soon as we're conceived, that sperm and that egg unite and we've got the fertilized egg. What also lies within us around our DNA is what's called the epigenome. It's a chemical soup that science is proving holds at least 14 generations of our ancestors' memories. So we haven't even left the womb, much less multiplied cellularly, right? And we have our soul's impact, and we have our ancestors' ideas and experiences and emotions in there. I don't think it's a bad plan, you know, whoever wrote it. I mean, it's sort of nice to know that we've got some computer software, you know, kind of available to us in the hardware of the body. But much of what then turns on or activates as we go through life is going to be more of the negative reactions, or what we call negative, like, you know, oh my gosh, this is happening, I better be scared, or, oh, I've got a cold, but my ancestor, when she had a cold, she died of pneumonia, so I'm going to be terrified because I have a cold. So it tends to just exaggerate our own reactions, that all of this is in us and gets turned on to the point where it can change our DNA and we can actually get an illness because an ancestor's imprint is turning on, or our soul is going through a, oh my gosh, I've been through this before, and our body's chemistry responds.
It's almost like a wish to, if you could call it that, where... And I have friends that have actually said this for years, where they have someone in the family that has died from a certain kind of cancer. And they'll say, I know I'm going to get it. And so a lot of times, especially when we're younger, we're going through a trauma, we may say something that is actually like a wish, and it can come back and bite us, you know, later on in life, unless you're doing your inner work and seeing what that, you know, the core of what's going on. I know that you're on that same wave. Not that we're saying, okay, let's give it to us, but it's what we say and what that wish is that we may hold in our soul memory that comes to life one day, and then it's like, okay, yeah, well, I told you so. What are your thoughts on that?
And it's a re-triggering. you know, and a lot of these things, it could be because, you know, we really, at some soul level, identify with an ancestor or something similar happened to us in a different lifetime. But I've got a couple stories. When I was about 38 or so, I started to get arrhythmia, which is an uneven heart rhythm. And it's fairly common. And there were a number of energetic reasons I was getting it, but I just couldn't figure them all out. And I discovered that at about that same age, my mother's dad, Olaf Norstog, we're all Norwegian, a farmer, started to get heart problems. And they couldn't define his heart conditions the same way, you know, that we can. There weren't the same equipment. And, you know, so they told him, you know, you're going to have a heart attack. You have a heart problem. You're going to have a heart attack. You're going to die. So you have to quit farming. He was a farmer. And you have to give up your liquor, which he didn't want to do. He loved blackberry liqueur, which he made. And they said, otherwise you're going to die. And he goes, well, no, I'm not going to change. I'm just going to keep going, and if I die, I die. And his mother had had heart problems at about the same age, and that probably, you know, could have been from different reasons than his. But it was interesting, you know, how there was that toggle on of the genetics for his mom, you know, for him, somewhere in his, you know, late 30s, early 40s. And he just kept plowing through it and lived till, you know, 91, 92. And I don't know what he died of. I think you just get to die at some point, right? But my arrhythmia started about the same time. And I didn't know that my grandpa had had that for a couple years. That one of the reasons I was able to kind of turn off the arrhythmia, because I tried the beta blockers and the stuff they give you, and I was just miserable. And I was like, I'm just not going to take this. I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to eat right, be healthy, do this, do my energetics, and keep going. I didn't know that's what my grandpa had decided to do. I decided sort of the same approach. And after a couple awarenesses I had about what was happening with the heart rhythm, it just plain went away after about 2 to 3 years. But I didn't know that I was a repeat of my grandfather until I had already sort of acted the same way as him and found my own inner causes, too. So much of what's inside of us just sort of happens. It's there, and we can draw from the stock, right, our ancestral stock. But also, like what you're saying, if we really think something's going to fell us, like I worked with clients who all the men died of heart problems going back generations and generations around age 57. I mean, it was uncanny. Sometime during that year, I don't remember how many generations, it was 6, 7, 8, the men had all died of some kind of heart problem. So this man came to see me, he was 56, and he was going, well, obviously I'm going to die. We all die at 57. So I have to get ready for this. And I said, well, first of all, you should kind of already be ready for death. We all need to live that way. And we kind of worked it through. We went back to the first ancestor using our intuition, you know, that this happened to and what was underneath it and what the emotions were, sent healing back in time. Even though the ancestors were dead, you can send healing to their souls. And my particular client, you know, was kind of sailed through 57, 58, 59, and I think he's still around. So what we believe is set in stone often then acts like it's set in stone, too. But it's not always set in stone.
Right, right. And you can see how thoughts or someone even telling us a certain thing, we have that in our own mind, and we retain it. And then there are times, like you're saying, where we didn't retain it, but it's in our cell memory and you have to dig for it. So once you found out, then it actually, would that be the same as the microbe where you're actually saying and talking with the microbe and saying, okay, you know, I'm doing this a different way. I'm healing a different way. I don't need you anymore. You can leave my body. Is that on the same?
Yes, it is. Where you're aware of your own power and that you're in relationship. That's what you're talking about. Like, I'm in relationship with my genes. I'm in relationship with the memories of my ancestors in my body. I'm in relationship with the microbes in my body. So I, for instance, worked with a woman who had Lyme disease, and it's very common, as are many, many other different types of infections, and she lived in Canada. Very serious case of Lyme disease. She had no energy. She was exhausted. She was working it energetically. She'd already done the antibiotics, and they hadn't really been affected, you know, for her. And she talked to the bacteria, and she said, you know, what are you trying to show me? Let's just talk about this relationship here. And I believe bacteria often hold, versus other types of microbes, can often hold our own emotions that we haven't dealt with or we haven't made peace with or brought to a place of joy. And so she talked to her microbes, and they showed her the feelings that she hadn't felt, and she started feeling them, and, you know, all the symptoms disappeared. They disappeared.
Really?
The symptoms, yeah, because the microbe, now this is how I like to look at it, the microbe at some level, if you, you know, kind of grant that everything has at least some low level of consciousness, right?
That's
you know,
right.
Or that which is animate has a low level of consciousness. So what's its conscious task? Well, it's holding her emotions. It's doing her a favor. Once she said, I will do that for myself, honestly, the microbe could retire. That's sort of the dramatic way that I would speak about how we can interact with microbes. And you kind of go, what are we thinking it's doing for me? What's the need being met? Let's find a different way to get the need.
Right. That's powerful. Interesting that you mentioned her with Lyme. That's actually one of the things that I am experiencing in these last couple of years. And but this is why it's so good about your book, because there's some insight in there, one of which is talking with your microbes and doing you know, a lot of work with the co-infections, because that's really the horrendous piece of it. And you use...
That's a tough part. It is, the co-infections, because you end up with probably too many co-infections
microbes.
To even number. They're just... Well, and then the body gets inflamed, and we get what are called mast cells. So we have these inflammatory immune responses, and, you know, then, as you know, you're exhausted. You're just, where do you start? It's hard to know where to start.
Yeah, it is, I find it very fascinating, Cindy. I find it very fascinating. The first year I would go to the ER all the time, and then beyond that. But, you know, if you do, for those that may be listening, if you do a protocol of herbs and supplements and organic foods and things of that sort, you have improvement. It just is taking time. And you can do the guided imagery, which I've been doing and working with an energetic person as well, because I think you really, and let me ask you this too, no matter how much knowledge that you may have around, you know, the spiritual self and the ability, the magnificence of the body can heal all things, you really need help with someone else. Would you agree when it gets to a point where it's insane?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. We are not islands. I mean, there's a reason we're made out of fields of energy and we interact with nature and other people and beings and microbes and all this. I'm a real believer in getting help, you know, and seeking that. I recently went through a couple really tough weeks with my youngest son. He's a baseball pitcher on a college team, and all of a sudden things just went south. Like, he couldn't throw. He'd stand on the mound and it would not happen. And, you know, he's calling his mom, who's me, and I'm, you know, I can hear him upset, and I'm trying to take care of his feelings and be intuitive. And you know what I did? I just started calling people. I called a pro player we knew, and, you know, I just started kind of drumming up the support that was needed until it became clear just about 2 days ago, oh, I see what happened. And he'd actually had COVID over New Year's, didn't seem to have serious symptoms, but it settled in his back. He threw out his back, which threw out how he pitched the ball, and so he couldn't pitch. And it came back to like a microbe, which caused all these sort of emotional reactions in him. But I don't think we would have figured it out, even though I do this for a living, you know, if we didn't open up the gate and talk to this person and eventually, you know, put it together, get a little team that put it together. And in probably 12 hours, most of it was taken care of. But it took all of that unified response with everybody helping and weighing in to, you know, kind of like figure out what was really going on.
Now, when you say weighing in, were they giving you insight to what they, you know, what they had been, well, let me, were they giving you insight to help to get to the core, or you already knew that he had the COVID, and so now you were trying to find when did it start, or are
well,
you
we knew he'd had the COVID, but okay. Nobody put it together with the back pain that was part
I
of the COVID.
See.
Okay. See what I mean? So
yes.
The COVID had come and gone, and he threw his back out in the middle, which is a symptom of COVID that very few people talk about. So it sort of took a lot of joint heads to bring it together until finally a body guy who's also a body coach, like a pitching coach, said, mm-hmm. You know what? Go back there to that back pain. That's what threw off how he was pitching. So, you know, and this should be fairly obvious, when one would think, because we weren't talking necessarily deep mystical issues. We were talking physical, mm-hmm. right? But then, right? But then what if you've got something causing a problem that is a deep mystical issue or an entity or ancestral, you know, components? So even physical took 2 to 3 weeks to figure out. How can we, when we're going through something, we can't always put it all together. Even if we get guidance, we can't put it all together.
Yes, it's like a puzzle, is the way I describe it, because you get a piece, and sometimes you get little pieces years earlier, but then more pieces are added, and then the puzzle all starts to come together, and it expands, and it's like, it just has such an energy. You're like, oh my gosh, this is so simple, and yet you start to realize there's cords attached and all these different things, and what you've said to yourself years back out of fear of losing people, that type of mindset that can do a number on your body. So anyway, but we need to take our break, our first break, and everyone will be back in a moment. We ran over a little bit, but I'm just, you know, I'm into you, Cindy. I'm feeling your soul. It's beautiful. Anyway, we'll be back in a moment. Don't go away.
The storm may bring the shower.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing Spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Eastern. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, and to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Come join us and step into this glorious vibration called love.
After narrowly surviving the attack on Sandy Hook Elementary, first grade teacher Caitlin Roy DeBellis was left searching for answers that would never come. Eventually, she chose to focus on questions that could be answered. How do I make sure this tragedy doesn't define us? How do we get our control back? Those two questions led her to found the 501c3 nonprofit organization, Classes for Classes. When gifts poured into their classroom, she decided they would help someone else by paying it forward and being kind. This developed into a social network which allows K through 8 classrooms to connect so that every student in the United States can learn these crucial lessons. Classes for Class's mission is to build students' social-emotional intelligence by connecting them to care. All C4C projects are crowdfunded. Any teacher in the U.S. can visit classesforclasses.org. That's classes, the number 4, classes.org. Sign up today.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids Children's Book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around 7 paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Join us in May and we'll waive the daily fees. Located in Rhinebeck in New York's beautiful Hudson Valley, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. That's 877-944-2002.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back, and you're listening to the Love by Intuition show. I wanted to let everyone know that Cindy's book, Cindy Dale's book, Energy Healing for Trauma, Stress, and Chronic Illness, Uncover and Transform the Subtle Energies That Are Causing Your Greatest Hardships. Her book is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's March Book of the Month. And she is giving away one free book, and this is a large, heavy book filled with wisdom beyond your imagination. So if you want to have a chance to get this free book, just go on our site, Dream Vision 7, Dream Visions, all one word with an S on the end, the number 7radio.com, and sign up for our free newsletter, and you're automatically in the drawing. And then you can get the book anywhere you buy books, online, Amazon, all the different book stores. You can get your book copy right away if you'd like. This is a live show, and Bob is in the house. Anyone that would like to call in, if you have a question for Cindy or a comment or a thought, our number, 833-220-1200. Again, 833-220-1200. And Cindy, I wanted to ask you, it's from your information, you have co-written a book with Dana Childs, and you're also writing a book about making food and healthy choices through the chakras. And is that going to be published?
Yes, that's coming out in August. Mm-hmm. Chakras, food, and you. It's coming out in August this year. Yep.
Oh wow, that's so good to know. Wow, thank you. So let's go back to, I'd love to ask you more about the vagus nerve, how that fits into our whole system. And there's not enough conversation around the vagus nerve as far as how powerful it is.
No, and there ought to be, and I wish that science would pick up on that too, because that's where we get most of our research, is actually science that talks about the vagus nerve really almost like the king, the queen, you know, the regal ruler of your nervous system and of your life. So the vagus nerve is one of many cranial nerves, so it starts in the head and it goes down through the body. What's interesting about it is it passes through most of your organs or connects into them, and if you're a chakra person, who, and I am, you know, you're into the subtle energies, it also interconnects with all those in-body chakras, too. And it's what they call a socially programmed nerve. So when we're really young, it starts to kind of hold the conclusions that we make about society, about our place in the world, about what's safe, what's not safe, who's safe, who's, you know, kind of how do we have to be in order to be safe or to fit in or have kind of a clan mentality. And of course, that's mainly subconscious. And so this vagus nerve, given that it holds our earliest of programs or, you know, kind of the conclusions our nervous system is drawing about what brings pain and what brings pleasure, you know, then sort of dictates our reactions to what happens in the body or outside of the body as we go through life. So the other interesting thing about that vagus nerve, because most of us, of course, don't know what's programmed on it. How do we remember, you know, kind of how we reacted when we were 3 years old or 8 months in the womb, or how we picked up on what mom was kind of informally sharing with us about how to fit in and how to be popular or safe or be powerful or whatever, is that in that it goes all the way down through the body from the brain, you would think it's sort of telling the body how to act based on what the brain's programs are. Well, it's really the other way around. About 90% of the communication, the electronic firing in the vagus nerve is from your gut to your brain. And that gut is its own brain. It's sometimes called the gut brain, the enteric nervous system. It's got more neurotransmitters in there, and it includes your digestive tract, than you have in your brain. So down in your gut are all these deep-seated feelings and reactions, and I believe ancestral memories and soul memories. And, you know, that vagus nerve carries your reactions up from your gut to your head to tell you how to think and how to react. And even more oddly than that, you know, 80% of your immune system sits in your gut. So, you know, if your gut's disturbed, that the message is going up, and even the microbes climbing up the vagus nerve to the brain, you know, are going to be dictating what your health is doing and what you're reacting to. Are you going to have allergies? Are you going to marry your fifth alcoholic or whatever it might be? It's the all-powerful decision maker, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Now, you spoke of the immune system actually connected. Does the immune system need to be attended to energetically in order to build the immune system itself? I mean, if one can be on organic food and taking care of themselves very well, the immune system, as we know, can attack ourselves and such. So, I mean, you know where I'm going with this. So please talk to that a bit.
That's a great point. So, you know, most of us have learned that, you know, there is an element of you are what you eat. So we eat healthy and we exercise and we sleep and we tend to ourselves and we stay away from situations that make us feel bad and whatever. However, because over 99% of us is subtle energy, right? We're open doors to outside energies and outside factors. I believe that a lot of, say, chronic pain issues or autoimmune dysfunctions or allergies are caused by others' energies that get into our body. They're invisible, but they come in on forces, physical forces, environmental forces, psychological forces. Dad yelled at mom, dad's feelings come into us, or, you know, dad's shame comes into us, or we think it's about us. And all that stuff, maybe it starts invisible, but it's in the body. And subtle and physical energies are on the same continuum. Subtle energies turn into physical, and physical energies turn into subtle. So you bring in somebody else's shame, that can get deposited in your body. Your immune system's going to know it's there. It's going to try to get rid of that energy and end up actually probably more likely attacking your healthy cells, trying to get rid of the energies that don't suit you and that aren't yours. Now you have an autoimmune dysfunction because, honestly, the body's just trying to get rid of what's not its own. But we don't know that. We just know that our immune system is, you know, kind of out of whack, or to use a word you used earlier, it's insane. It's not insane. It's sane. It's going, this is littered. I mean, it's like, well, we've all had the experience for instance, of walking into a room. You know, some people leave the room, we walk in, and we go, oh, my gosh, this has a really bad feeling. Oh, I feel sick to my stomach, and I'm really uncomfortable, and what were they talking about? That's their energy that comes in our body. But by the time we get to be a certain age, think about how much of that we've drunk in. And our immune system is, you know, kind of, they're the task makers. They're the house cleaners. They're the butlers. They're like, no, let's get that stuff out of there. But it's really hard to get rid of other people's energy if you can't work with the subtle energy, because it's subtle. It affects us physically, but we have to have a sense of subtle to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And so then going back to the microbes, microbes can actually morph into more. And this is where, when you look at it from collectively, it can be, how can we get on top of this? Because there's so many complexities to our bodies. And as we know, we don't have all the answers, and yet, you know, you have so many.
I have a lot of them. I think we need a lot more.
Yes.
Well, microbes do more. I just love the studies from the middle of the 1900s by, you know, kind of starting in like 1932 or so, by Dr. Royal Rife. He invented a microscope, a super cool microscope, and it used different kind of ultraviolet radiation and different lenses. So he would refract light to look at microbes in this special microscope. And so he put like a bacteria in there, like a dangerous bacteria. He could change the lenses or the way that the bending light was hitting the microbe and literally turn it into a non-lethal bacteria. He went farther, and this is the stuff I wish science was doing more with. He actually found there were certain types of microbes he could turn one type into another. So he believed that there were classifications of microbes, not bacteria, viruses, you know, fungus, this and that and the other thing. But he thought there were families where a virus could turn into a certain type of bacteria into a certain type of yeast. And we do know there's microbes that do that, that morph in the body. So, you know, what if these co-infections, and I'm kind of speculating, there's no proof of this, except for like what Royal Rife and other people have done, right? What if these co-infections, we don't have 10 different microbes? What if we have two? And they just keep moving around and changing one into another. And we need to get to the root of that and support, you know, kind of them turning into healthy ones, or the body being able to get rid of the attachment maybe some of those microbes have to trauma or other people's energies or ancestral memories. So what if that's the next step in science? What if the virologist, I think that's what they're called, isn't it? Somebody who researches viruses. What if they start working on that? I mean, that could revolutionize the world.
Absolutely. And so what if you mentioned a good microbe? What, instead of getting rid of all the microbes, would you become friendly with a microbe? And this is while you're getting to the root of whatever it is on the, you know, the subtle end of things. But how do you feel about that? Should we look into that as far as becoming friends with the microbe instead of asking them to leave?
I think that's a crazy question. No, look at where we're going with this conversation. I think it's great. I think we can be friended. I mean, we, you know, if you take the water out of the body, which is about 70%, and you take what's left, which is about 30% of, you know, kind of the goods, right, substances that are left. So it's sort of matter. And only, you know, about very little of that has actually got our DNA. Most of what's left are actually microbes. So we're made out of microbes. And those microbes are mainly friendly. They're digesting. They're supporting our immune system. I believe they're talking to the outside world. right? So we're made out of friendly microbes anyway. Those epigenes we talked about, the chemical soup with our ancestors' memories, you know, they're sort of stored on dead microbes. That's what's in there. It's a part of what's in that soup. So what if we could just get to be better friends? There's a whole branch of science that kind of got left behind with what they call germ theory, that everything's dangerous and you have to kill it all, right? Basically, that's the story of modern science. But there's another brand of science called pleomorphism that says if you change the environment, then what's in it changes. If you change an environment and a bacteria is nasty, but you change what's around it, you change the feelings, you change the food, or you get rid of other people's, you know, dark energies that are in you and just replace it with love or your own spirit, that microbe could become friendly. It could work for you, not against you. I think we're talking about something that's actual real science, too.
And in one respect, too, you could look at it as, you know, as we teach people to, instead of hating their cancer, to look at the cancer as the gift that it has brought. I mean, it's on that same wavelength of, you know, and now that we're mostly microbes other than the water, you know, it would make sense to befriend. I mean, and if we're sitting there and connected to the light, and, well, we are the light, but we're connected, we can usually decipher if something needs to be go and leave the body or, you know, stay and talk with me.
We can. I know. We must sound crazy to some people while we're talking about this, but we're not. Well, I had a prediction several years ago. I don't remember how old I was, maybe mid-40s or something, and I was doing some, you know, kind of journeying inside of myself, and I could see that I was on course to get cancer, cervical cancer. I could see that, you know, within a few years, certainly by, you know, 48, 49 or something like that. And I thought, you know, can I avoid this? Can I do something different? And the sense that I had is I had to go through the process of cancer, but I didn't have to die from the cancer. Like, that could have been one of my exit points. So I did have human papillomavirus, HPV, which is a major cause. Almost everybody has it, to be honest. Most women, like 70% of women. I did have human papillomavirus, which is genital warts, basically. And it created, you know, warts, and it kept spreading. And I worked with the gynecologist, and I worked with absolutely everybody. And in the course of that year or two, it never went away. No matter what I did with it, it didn't, you know, go away. Like, it didn't magically disappear. But I worked through my issues of shame and, you know, issues about did I take on my sexual partner's feelings and what happened in my family of origin and what was the abuse there. And, you know, I just kept going through all of it. And my gynecologist, after 2 years of this, finally said, you know, we've got one more procedure we can do. And I'd done a few procedures. He said, and if it doesn't work, we'll have to do a hysterectomy. And I said, I'm not going to need the hysterectomy. And I just knew it. I thought, you know, I've done the deeper work. And I just decided when I went in that I was befriending the virus. I was befriending it and saying, look at what you've let me do. Look at what you've let me own and work through. This is so beautiful. Thank you. So when I went in for the general anesthesia procedure, I just thought, you know what? There's only one thing left, and that's energies that are not my own that I took in from sexual partners. I give permission for the surgeon to cut those out, and then I'm going to be done, and then I'm done. Then the almost cancer, right, the precancerous condition has done its job. That was, you know, a few years ago. I cleaned bill of health. Everything's been fine. I got to the point where I was like, this is really doing me a favor. And then when I knew it was clean, I was like, you know, I mean, I'm okay with surgery. You know, if I had a lump in the breast, I would work on the issues and I would have the lump taken out because, right? Because we have bodies and you can treat things any number of ways and all of the ways that are available. And I thought this, you know, I couldn't not go through the precancerous condition because there was so much for me to gain from it. So my attitude ended up being one of great gratitude by the time I was done.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I think many people come to that place, and then that's what fuels them or supports them through other things that come around in later years. We need to take our break. We'll be back in a moment, everyone. Don't go away.
The storm may bring the shower. Free me, free me. Let go of all the world.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bovee on the Love by Intuition show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Eastern. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, and to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Come join us and step into this glorious vibration called love.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids children's book by Deborah Bovee and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
Why are we here? How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to happy. Sacred stories of transformational joy answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback." Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So, grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide.
It's a child's job to play, to learn, and to have fun. It's an adult's job to keep them safe. Did you know that 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before the age of 18? Every day, families enter the Children's Advocacy Center because of child's courage to tell someone what happened to them. Keeping our children safe starts with a conversation. This is Michelle Oranger, Executive Director of the Children's Advocacy Center. Learn more on how to keep your child safe. Visit cacofbc.org. This message made possible by the Fall River Rotary Club.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
If you'd like to get in touch with Cindy, look at her books and all that she is doing in her busy, busy life, you can go on her site at cindydale.com. Cindy is C-Y-N-D-I. Dale is D as in dog, A-L-E, cindydale.com. And I want everyone to check out her site, check out, buy her books. It'll change your life. This, I've read so many, I mean, I follow some of Donna Eden's work. You know, what happens, Cindy, which you probably well know from your own journey, is, you know, you pick up something to add to your toolbox, and then you'll say, oh, it's almost like when you're choosing food, you'd maybe choose something new to try out that you wouldn't ordinarily like or didn't like years back. But some of the things you can pick and choose, you can do some energy work, you can do some tapping, sitting and having, you know, doing a mini meditation or longer, all these things. One of the things I wanted to share with you, which is part of my self-care, is touching your face with your thumb. I have a chiropractor friend who does that. And I started doing it for myself, and it brings, it's the touch, it's the, you know, it's that self-care that's nurturing and all. So I want to thank you, because it brought back, and I was like, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to incorporate that in my little toolbox.
It's lovely, isn't it? I mean, that self-care and remembering we can, you know, give love to ourselves. And while we're doing that, we can ask, you know, kind of that those invisible beings around us, you know, kind of can do the same too. One of my favorite things to do too is know that I'm always interconnected with nature. So I will literally center in my heart, and I'll just ask that the beings of nature, you know, maybe they're plants or trees or moths or my dog who's sleeping here, right, or whatever, that if I have a need, I'm open for the energy, the spirits of them, to send me the energy that I need. So, you know, there's easy ways to kind of receive through the subtle means, because we're limited to some extent on how many herbs we can take, or, you know, how many prescription meds we want to take, et cetera.
Right, exactly. And going back to trauma, which really feeds into what we're talking about with self-care, for those out there, I mean, a lot of the people that listen are awakened, conscious, and looking for more information. But say the people out there that that don't know where to begin, they know they have trauma. They've heard about meditation and how to go within. But what would you suggest on how to embrace, release, however you want to look at that, get to the root, how they can feel free?
That's a great, you know, question. And I think it depends on, you know, kind of how you want to start. So you can start really simple, for instance, and Google, and it's free to do this, the polyvagal system. That's based on the vagus nerve, P-O-L-Y vagal, V-A-G-A-L, but you can look for polyvagal exercises, and there's some very simple exercises, physical exercises, ways to move your head, to touch, you know, this and that, that can help unlock the trauma that you can do for free by yourself. I think you can look for chakra meditations, or just download a picture of the chakras and, you know, one that tells you the very basics of the chakras, like the first is about security, and the second is about emotion, and the third is about your thoughts. And if you feel like your challenges are really physical, you can just start to just breathe into your first chakra, you know, where it is on the illustration. Or if you think you're mainly dealing with feelings, just start breathing into the chakra that has to do with the feelings. If you really need to pursue memories, EMDR is a brand of therapy that I think is one of many that's really good for uncovering memories and then rewriting them, because you want to leave, you know, a positive where there was a trauma. It's short for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing therapy, blah, 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 blah. Just remember EMDR. But that's a really important pursuit if you know that there's abuse back there, you know, or something really hard that you want help, somebody to partner you with. That's a place I would start, too, to uncover what's there and put something positive in the place of what's creating ongoing stress, too.
Right, creating the space and then filling that space. Yes,
right, with something good.
All good.
With yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes, good information. Thank you. And so we only have a few minutes left. What is happening? What's coming up for you? What do you want to share with the listeners?
Well, I've got some fun projects. I just last week kicked off my apprenticeship program. It's an 8-month, really intense study of healing and healing gifts in the chakras. And if people are interested, they can still get in on that. We've only had one class. And I have an advanced one coming up. And then it's not listed yet, but starting again in August, I will have another class through the Shift Network. So stay tuned with that. You know, I love the Shift Network. I've actually been in a number of their free summits. They do these really interesting summits where a lot of speakers, you know, talk about different topics. I mean, I've done one on curses, actually, and one on the science of chakras, and I have one I'm going to be recording on using your intuition, you know, to do medical work. So I would tell people to check out Shift, not just for me, but they have lots and lots of resources if you're into any of this material, right? Anything from ancient wisdom to chanting to, you know, anything that's in and all valid, you know, approaches to how to help yourself energetically.
Very good. Very good. Well, I want to thank you again for coming back, and I'm sure we'll have you back down the road. We can do the, once you're, that book is out with the chakras and food, that would be fun to talk about and how that all connects. But everyone out there, go to Cindy's site, cindydale.com. Check out all the things she mentioned. Google the things that she mentioned and listen, tell everyone to listen to the show again, because, you know, you can always, it's a lot of information to take in at one time. And then also just like a book, and I know you agree with this, Cindy, you know, you can read a book and then go back and read it again 2 months later and take in more information that you either missed or didn't register.
I do that with my own books. I look at them and go, did I know that? I better remember that. That's really interesting.
Yes. Well, you're an encyclopedia on the energetic forces and the body and all that it encompasses. It's just amazing the detail that you are, that's in your brain. Yeah, well, or mine.
Well, it's amazing what details aren't in the brain, like when I'm missing my keys or...
Right. Well,
doing all that normal human stuff, too.
The normal human stuff, yes, that we all know so very well.
We do.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you so much. And for everyone listening, share with your people, share with your family, friends, listen to it again, and tune back into DreamVision7Radio.com, however you'd like. We have so many wonderful, amazing, phenomenal hosts. We have new people. We have shows talking about how to bring the men and the women together in a divine way, and it's focused on men, which I think is really exciting. All about money. Money isn't scary. And then we have another MD that's duly board certified, and anyway, it's just an exciting time for information. So everyone, till the next time we come together and laugh, I need to laugh. Au revoir.
Are you seeking a clearer path to love? Then tune in to the Love by Intuition show next week, all designed to your highest good. To contact Deborah Bouffet, owner of Empowered Connections, call her at 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or link on to lovebyintuition.com. Remember, we are all one, and we are all part of the miracle of love.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.